Galatians 6:8. Whoever sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:8. Whoever sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Galatians 6:8. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise seek advice. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise seek advice. Proverbs 12:15. Ephesians 1:17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 1:17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Ephesians 1:17. Children, please stand for Bible class. After hearing the news today, I realize what a magnificent time it is for us as believers to be alive. This is a magnificent and marvelous and wonderful time to be on this earth. God has great things in store for all of us, and you and I have the responsibility of being in the very heart and center of His will, God's will, for our lives. Next Sunday, I'll be preaching and Scott Griffin will be preaching. I've been giving serious thought to the subject of the cardia. The word cardia means the mentality of the soul. I'm sure that you are aware of the fact, and we'll say just a word or two before we have prayer and begin our study tonight. The cardia is the mentality, the ability of the believer to think. God has given us the ability to think. There are things that we know, and there are things that are unknown. So often in recent days, I've thought about loved ones and friends who've gone on to be with the Lord, absent from us, at home with Him. And I have wonderment about what all they're enjoying. It's unknown to us. There are many things that are unknown to us as believers, but there are many, many things in God's Word that make it possible for us to know. As believers, we have body, soul, and spirit. We have the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. We have the ability to understand and comprehend those things in the realm of the physical. Tonight we're able to sit here in this auditorium, or for me to stand here and be able to be aware of the fact that we can see and know things physically. We can recognize people. We can recognize colors. We're aware. That means that we have the ability to comprehend physical phenomena. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. And that simply means that you and I have opportunity to be in harmony, in fellowship with our Lord, and receive spiritual fuel for our souls, and we'll be able to see from a divine perspective. If there was ever a time that you and I needed to see from a divine perspective, it is now. And that's the reason why we spend time from this pulpit to communicate the wonderful, magnificent Word of God. We're here tonight again to do just that. May we pray together, please. Father, we realize again the opportunity which is ours to study and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. We believe that we have some of the greatest opportunities ever given to man. Mankind, men, women, boys, and girls. These are magnificent days for us. Challenging days. Days of opportunity. Days of spiritual advance. We pray that we will be able to again tonight see the importance of seeing from a divine perspective. Help us to understand and appreciate the fact that we can admit our faults and failures and sins and know that we're forgiven. Know that we've been placed in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man to die for the sins of the world, for all of us. We've accepted Him, He's accepted us, and we thank You for that magnificent gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray that in these moments we're studying this evening, that we will be able to understand again how wonderful and great it is to be alive. And what a wonderful challenge it is for us to see the need to advance spiritually. We thank You for Your scripture that we'll be using here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen, you see Hebrews chapter 5, 13, 14. The scripture says, "For everyone partaking of milk without experience of the word of righteousness, that person is an infant." I'm aware of the fact that we've already analyzed this passage of scripture, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. But we come back again tonight because we see the importance of understanding what this passage is saying. Everyone partaking of milk without experience of the word of righteousness. That person is a napios. That's the Greek word that we find here. The word is a baby. Napios is a word which means a nursing baby. A baby as a believer on a bottle. Everyone partaking of milk, lactose, without experience of the word of righteousness, is a baby. Hebrews 5:13. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid spiritual food is for the mature, the advanced believers, those with the ability to make decisions, who have biblical insight, who have the ability to determine some things, determining distinction between good, telos, and kakos. Solid spiritual food is for the mature, those with the ability to make decisions, based on insight, who have the ability to determine the difference between that which is good on the one hand, that which is evil. There are things that you and I know, and there are things that we do not know. In recent days, we've been taking a look at the subject of evil. And we have said, and we repeat tonight, sin can be confessed. Evil cannot. Why? I understand now that to some individuals, that particular statement is difficult to understand. The reason I know that is because we deal with people and we understand that sometimes we can make statements to individuals, even in small groups or in larger groups, and we see coming on the faces of the individuals somewhat of a blank look. And even sometimes the response of it is something that goes like this. I cannot understand how it's possible for God not to forgive anything. If you'll notice what we have on the screen, sin can be confessed, admitted. Evil cannot. And the question is, why? The answer to that, and we've given it, and now we repeat again, evil is a system of thinking. If you're looking carefully at the scriptures we've studied here this evening, Hebrews 5, 13, and 14, you're seeing this come out. Evil is a system of thinking. Evil is opposed to divine truth. In belief and behavior. I trust that you already have these statements because I've given them several times. Evil is opposed to divine truth in belief and behavior. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died for sin. Jesus Christ died for sin. But not for evil. It's been asked, what does the word nullify mean? We're to nullify evil. We're to nullify human viewpoint. Put it aside. Cast it aside. We're to nullify satanic thinking. I say this time and time again. I repeat myself, not because I think that you have not heard it. You've heard it. But you need to hear it over and over again. Human viewpoint must be nullified, put aside. Evil cannot be confessed. You and I can get on our knees, or we don't even have to get on our knees and admit our faults and failures and sins and be forgiven. But we cannot do that with evil. The reason for it is that evil is a system of thinking. There has to be a change of thinking. So on the screen now you see, only God's Word can change the thinking of a person. Only God's Word can change the thinking of a person. Some of the most magnificent things that'll ever enter your mind are being presented to you and me right now as we think about this. Evil is a system of thinking. And thinking has to be changed. And the only way that thinking can be changed is that that individual, or all of us as individuals, born again believers, have to have a change of thinking. In other words, human viewpoint, satanic viewpoint, seeing things from a horizontal viewpoint, that thinking has to be changed. And we have to begin to see things from a divine, vertical viewpoint. In order for that to take place, we have to see as God sees. We have to see as our Lord sees. The scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Only God's word then can change the thinking of a person. When I think in terms of an individual born-again believer, I realize that all of us have sinful natures. And when I went to Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, I read some interesting things there. It is saying it is not what goes into an individual that is detrimental, it's that which comes out. Matthew 15:19 speaks of what comes out of the individual. The old sin nature is usually the source of temptation. Volition is the source of sin. What I would like for you to do is, I number these for you tonight, is to think with me. The old sin nature is usually the source of temptation. Volition is the source of sin. You and I have, as we all know, old sinful natures. We found this out in Romans 5:12, because it says there, therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and through sin death, and so to all men death passed, inasmuch as all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The old sin nature is usually the source of temptation. Please understand, but volition is the source of sin. Many, many times I have drawn for you the circle of God's plan, which we call the system of love, God's plan of being in harmony and fellowship. We've emphasized the fact that temptation is on the outside. We're in harmony. We're in fellowship. And we have to make a decision when temptation comes our way. We say yes or we say no to the temptation. If we say no to the temptation, we continue to be in harmony and fellowship with Jesus Christ. If we say yes to the temptation, then we immediately find ourselves out of harmony, out of fellowship, and the old sin nature is now in control, and we're not cleansed of sin at this point. We're not filled with the Holy Spirit. The old sin nature is usually the source of temptation, but volition, number two, is the source of sin. Number three, the works of the devil can only be destroyed by functioning inside this system, which we call the love system, the plan of God. And we are the products of our own decisions. It's interesting to see, and I've looked at this in a number of different ways. The old sin nature is, and I want to put this on the screen for you to see, the old sin nature is the nature within all individuals that produces disobedience. The old sin nature is the home for the imputation of Adam's original sin. The nature, this nature, is inherited from Adam. That's the reason I just given you Romans 5:12. Therefore, as through one man, sin entered into the world, and through sin, death. And so to all men, death passed, inasmuch as all have sinned. What are we learning then? Number one, the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation, which is sins of cognizance, ignorance, human good, or evil. Let's put it down again. Number one, the old sin nature is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation. Number two, the old sin nature resides in the human body and is the source of all temptation. Not sin, but temptation. I'm aware of the fact that I could go too rapidly here and you'd miss it. I want to repeat. The old sin nature, number one, is Satan's inside agent for producing temptation, which includes sins of cognizance, ignorance, human good, or evil. Number two, the old sin nature resides in the human body and is the source of all temptation, not sin, but temptation. Number three, the volition, free will, faces the temptations from this old sinful nature. Therefore, volition is the guard of your soul and mind. It's important for us to understand and realize that God has given us the opportunity to see that there is a magnificent guard for the soul. Volition, free will. And volition or free will faces daily the temptations from that old sinful nature. And so volition then is God's gift, the guard or guards for the soul. Number four, the objective of the old sin nature is to control the soul. The objective of the old sin nature is to control the soul. We must understand this. Number five, the old sin nature is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without volition's permission. It seems like so often we don't understand that, comprehend that. The old sin nature is constantly throwing up temptation and cannot control without volition's permission. When temptation reaches the door, the gate of the soul, if volition says no, then the old sin nature is defeated. How many times over the past months and weeks and years have I said this? The reason why I'm speaking tonight about the known and the unknown, for many individuals, what I'm saying to you, because of the fact that we have in this congregation tonight people who've been listening to the word for weeks and months and years, and these things are known. But oftentimes, to individuals, these things are unknown. When the temptation reaches the door, the gate of the soul, if volition says no, then the old sin nature is defeated. But on the other hand, if volition says yes, pass through, then the temptation becomes sin. Is this understandable? Can we comprehend this? Is this known, or does this remain unknown? The origin of sin has always been human volition. The origin of sin has always been human volition. The first sin, the partaking of the forbidden fruit, was a sin of volition. The scripture says the woman looked at the fruit, longed for the fruit, laid hold of the fruit, and lost her relationship with God. Volition. Volition did it. Volition did it. The old sin nature then, I repeat, is the source of temptation, but not the source of sin. We're seeing two things tonight. On one hand, we're seeing temptation and sin and the old sinful nature. And on the other hand, we're seeing as a believer what Satan desires to do, and that is to get everyone to think as a believer satanic thoughts, human thoughts, horizontal thinking. The scripture says we're to fear the Lord. That does not mean to be afraid. It means to be occupied with Him. And Proverbs 16:6 says, by the fear, occupation with Jesus Christ, by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. As I said at the beginning of the message tonight, we're living in a fantastic time. These are magnificent days. Some of you wonder about it, don't you? Because of all of the confusion and frustration and all of the things that are taking place. You and I have a challenge by which God has put us on this earth, and we are facing new experiences and new challenges like which we've never done before. We must understand then that we cannot think satanic thoughts. We must think God's thoughts. We must understand what Hebrews is telling us here. For everyone taking of milk, the baby bottle, without experiencing the word of righteousness, that person is an infant, a baby. That person is not participating in solid food, solid spiritual food. We have the responsibility as believers to advance and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why this scripture says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Now that doesn't mean my age. That doesn't mean necessarily your age. Full age here means advanced. Strong meat belongs to those who are of full age. Even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised and have the ability to discern good and evil. I'm sure that most of you have heard this many, many times. There are words in the Greek New Testament for good and words for evil. One of the most beautiful words that I found is agathos, which is good, God's good, intrinsic good. But interesting enough, here we have an emphasis upon different word. We have the word telos and kaikos. We have an emphasis upon the ability of the individual to be able to see human aspects from a divine perspective, and have also the ability to know God's good, intrinsic good, agathos. You and I have the responsibility as believers to move away from satanic thinking, human viewpoint, horizontal viewpoint, and see things from a vertical, divine viewpoint. I said at the beginning, I say here at closing, these are challenging days for us. And the reason why they're so challenging is because God has given us, again, wonderful opportunities to study His Word, to advance, to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, preeminently, and be able to see as He sees so that we can find ourselves victorious and triumphant and joyful on a day-by-day basis. God is good to us, so good. And God wants us to be victorious and triumphant. May we pray together, please. The closing few moments are designed for those who hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad that I can tell you that God loves you and Jesus Christ was willing to come to the earth as the God-man, God incarnate, and go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. That's the reason why we have John 3:16 and other verses, of course. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scripture says if you have the Son of God, you have life. If you do not have the Son, you do not have life. Having life means having eternal life, having life that lasts forever in His presence. It's the most wonderful assurance in the world to know that when you breathe your last breath, when the heart ticks for its last time, you'll be absent from this body and at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. A person is not saved by trying to be good or joining the church or trying to live by the Ten Commandments. The Bible says you're saved by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Being saved doesn't give us grounds for boasting other than to be thankful and boast in what our Lord has done for us. Salvation is a gift, a free gift to be received. It's eternal life. You can receive it right now if you haven't already done so. The Bible says, believe. The Bible says, whosoever. That means you. If you've never done that, you could do it now. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the fact that this is the greatest gift ever been offered to mankind. A gift of salvation, eternal life. A free gift. But my, my, what an expensive gift it is, because it cost God his Son and it cost Jesus Christ his life. He was willing to give all for us, and we're thankful for that salvation. And we pray that even at this very moment there will be those who will accept you. And we realize upon the authority of the Bible, the Word of God, that anyone who does that will be saved. It's not our word, it's the Word of God. And the Word of God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.